Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Friday. Let's go. What's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Let it play. Let it play, D-Cell. Crank that up, baby. Let everybody know what's happening. A little TNT in the house.
It's Friday, fool.
It's Friday, fool. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here on a, as I said, on a Friday, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Tiki and Tierney getting ready to have a little fun today. You know, and Tiki, as much as we lamented no hoops last night, oh, what are we going to do? Not a bad way to be able to maybe reset, recharge, reevaluate. I don't know about you, but I was able to dive into a few episodes of my new favorite show, Billions. Mm-hmm. Axelrod, what a character this guy is. I mean, you have to get into the show as much as Tracy's into it.
Yeah, my wife is heavily into it. Yeah, we did have a reset night on sports, and there's a new show on Netflix called Safe. Have you seen this?
I haven't seen this
one. It's 8 episodes, 45 minutes each.
Okay.
We watched the whole thing.
In one night.
In one night.
Yeah, that's...
So by like 3 o'clock,
so
I'm like, honey, we got to go to bed. We can't watch this anymore. But yeah, you did get a chance to not think about sports for an evening, which for us made us think about sports for an evening and or the NBA postseason and the playoffs and whether or not we have changed our opinions about the Cavs and the Boston Celtics and the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. As we talked about yesterday, the Warriors and the Rockets, that's going to be a great series. Mm. I mean, we knew just from game one, which was a great game, that the series was going to be great, even though they lost by 13. That's the one I'm looking forward to, and that's the one I can hang my hat on to say it's going to be entertaining. The more I think about the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics, the more I just don't see how it's going to happen for the Cavs. Mm. I just don't. When you think about how vulnerable everybody other than LeBron is on the Cavs. There's an expectation that that I have, that you have, that D-Cell has, that fans have of players, right? When this game happens, I expect LeBron to go score 20 in the first quarter. You know what? That's reasonable. It could happen. Mm-hmm. And it did happen. Mm-hmm. He scored 25 or 21 in the first quarter last week. You go think about J.R. Smith and Kevin Love and Kyle Korver and all these other – not Kyle Korver.
J.R. Smith,
et cetera. You're thinking about all these other guys. What's the expectation? And I tried to do that in my head. I had none. There was just no expectation. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to perform well, but the expectation I have for everybody other than LeBron and the Cavs is kind of shot. Whereas when I look at the Boston Celtics, and if I did this on this BT test on paper, that's kind of what I resulted to.
Good one.
Let me do the BT test. Let me get the 5 best guys. It's LeBron, and then the rest of them are Celtics, man.
Yep.
So that told me everything I needed to know.
See, I'm coming at it from a little bit of a different point of view here. And sometimes time is our worst enemy here.
Yep.
Because we kind of reevaluate and we overthink and we begin to maybe try to convince ourselves unknowingly that we might have to reshape our initial opinion. And I'm certainly not prepared to do that. Celtics are simply better. But as I thought about this on a night without any basketball, we're sitting there saying, boy, you're really going out. You're really walking to the edge of that mountain. You're really going to touch that ledge and tell the whole world that you really, truly think that LeBron James is going to get smoked and that it's really, truly over. And you know, I just can't change my tone on that. I can't change my tone. I can't change my message. I guess I can change my tone.
Yeah.
But I cannot change my message. I examine this every single way. High, low, near, far, night, day, wet, dry, hot, cold, whatever else is out there. I just can't come to a different determination.
Yeah.
They're not nearly as good as the Celtics.
No.
And I say it because I picked the Raptors to win the last series. Listen, I'm a man of my word. I'm not going to run and hide from this stuff. You know what I say. It's out there on YouTube. It's out there on CBSSportsRadio.com. It's out there on Twitter. I take a position. I take one definitively. and I stand firm. And if I'm wrong, I'll take it on the chin and I'll man up, but it's no big deal. But I will admit this. It would really bother me if I'm so wrong with this. Because this one's really testing my basketball senses in a way that I know that they've quite been challenged like this in a way. I know pragmatically,
I mean,
Boston. No, maybe.
I mean the cat or
pertaining to LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron. Has he ever been challenged like? I mean, maybe in the finals.
Yeah.
When he's down 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors.
But this is the end of the road. This is him leaving Cleveland, him not coming back, this team being dismantled, the Cleveland Cavaliers going back on the rack of irrelevance, you know, the like the $5, the five and dime store that, quite frankly, nobody cares about. And, you know, maybe if they get lucky with a draft pick in a couple of years once LeBron leaves, maybe they'll get back to a position of meaning. But, like, this is it. You know, we're walking out to the plank and we're staring down at these waters, and I don't want to swing and miss wildly on this one. But I just believe that they're shot.
Yeah.
It's over. They're not going to win this series.
Yeah, I think about it. I listen to a lot of people talk about this. NBA on SiriusXM. Obviously, if you want to listen to us on SiriusXM, it's 206, but I listen to the NBA channel as well because they're breaking out everything.
Who's that, Termini?
Yeah.
Well, I like that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And Eddie Johnson?
Eddie Johnson.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I
but
like
them.
But
they're breaking down, like, all the little things. You don't want to hear this all the time, but they're breaking down all the little things. They were talking about this sequence with Marcus Smart, who was checked on Kyle Korver. And Kyle Korver's hanging. I mean, he doesn't run. He doesn't run around. He doesn't try to. And he gets open sometimes, but he's lumbering, big guy, but also a shooter. But he's not like J.J. Redick, who just runs nonstop until he finally gets open. You're talking about how Kyle Korver will run around, but mostly you can stick with him. And so they front him. Like, just don't let Kyle Korver shoot. And in this one sequence, Marcus Morris, who was on Kyle Korver, peeked in to help with LeBron. Like, he's like, I'm going to go help. And he comes off Kyle Korver. Kyle Korver gets the rock, goes right, and gets an easy layup. Right? And they Brad Stevens calls a timeout immediately. This is right before halftime. Immediate timeout. And he rips Marcus Morris a new one. Right? How many points did Kyle Korver score in the second half?
I'm going to guess it's very close to none.
Zero.
None.
Zero.
Wow.
And so when you think about that happen, as well as the athletic inferiority of the Cavaliers and the unpredictability and the hot and cold nature of some of their shooters, like J.R. Smith, etc., coupled with the fact that Brad Stevens, like, truly has the pulse of these guys, like, has them executing at a ridiculous level. And when he tells them to do something, they do it. It's not like, hey, J.R. Smith, go get that guy. J.R. Smith's like, okay.
Because he's asking them to do things that they're physically capable of.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
one of the differences between
I
these
agree.
Two teams.
I agree with you.
Not that I'm not saying Tyronn Lue is as good as Brad Stevens, but if you ask a Korver, we all know the names, to do certain things, they just can't do it. They have too many one-dimensional players.
Yeah.
That's why I'm really not – well, it's going to come back and bite me.
Yeah.
That's really why I'm not afraid that this – you know, and I've been pretty bold with this for now a week with the Celtics here, that it's not going to come back and bite me because one dimension doesn't become two dimensions overnight.
Yeah.
One dimension is going to remain one dimension
yeah,
until you get different players
true.
That have multi-dimensions.
And again, we saw this in with game two. LeBron was ridiculous.
Yep.
He scored 42 points and had a triple-double. It didn't matter. And I think in basketball nowadays, what we're starting to see, and you see this with the Rockets, when James Harden has a great day but nobody else does, they don't win. Right, you saw obviously with the Golden State Warriors, and they're the best team in the NBA. When Kevin Durant has a great day, but nobody else kind of really does, Steph Curry or Clay, they don't win. And so it's one thing to have one great player, but that doesn't do it anymore. And you look at the team.
I don't think it's ever done it. Well, to what LeBron, I mean, historically, because people really, I mean, what one player that was great elevated a team
to a championship?
To a champion. Now, there's been great players that elevated an average team to a level of prominence that fell short of a championship, a guy like Ewing, a guy like Barkley. I wouldn't say Stockton Malone because that's a duo, but there's been a couple of guys like that. David Robinson early before he had Tim Duncan.
True.
You know, pre-championships, but there's never been one guy that just had, you know, one guy and four middling average players around him win a championship.
Agreed.
And that never will happen.
Now, so if the Cavaliers are going to have any chance, And I don't think they're going to get swept. But if they have any chance to win this series, like I predicted, if it happens, I'll stand behind it, even though it would be false standing behind it because I'm not really standing out behind it
right
now.
Which doesn't count. So, yeah,
it doesn't
exactly.
really count. But if it should happen, who's that guy? That's the question you keep asking yourself over and over and over.
I mean, don't you have to start with Kevin Love? I know Kevin Love scored.
Yeah, but Kevin's not going to do it, though.
Well, then they have no chance because Kevin Love's the second most talented player on the team. So if your response is Kevin Love's not going to do it, why are we wasting time talking about this? Kevin Love has to do it.
Because you ask us, and you ask me, and D-Cell asked us to reevaluate how we thought about these series. We had a night off from basketball, right? It was so quiet. I was trying to find things to watch. The games, local games, are rained out. Baseball. So there's nothing on TV unless you're going
not much.
Unless you're going to Netflix, like I did, and watched a show that just got binged out of my mind. So I thought about that, and who's that second guy? There's got to be a second guy. There's got to be, because it doesn't work without it. And as BT correctly points out, it probably historically has never worked without that second guy. Who's the second guy for the Cavaliers? And I can't come
to a consensus. I'm going to throw a wild card at you.
Who?
I'm going to throw a wild card at you. But it's a style that's not going to work for 35, 40 minutes. Tristan Thompson. Mm. Tristan Thompson does a lot right.
He does.
He does a lot right. He's an energy guy. He's a tough guy. He's a rebounder. He's a screen setter. He rolls to the rim. Not a super athlete. Not going to jump over you, but he's a good player. But it's an antiquated skill set, particularly against a team with 6'9" forwards that jump out of the gym and can run and bang threes in your face.
Agreed. And he's a liability a little bit on defense because of that very reason.
No question. You lure him away from the rim, you dance right by him. If they had somebody like if the Cavaliers were LeBron and their entire core, and in addition to Tristan Thompson, they had, say, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, all right, an old Cav. I'm thinking of a big man.
Yeah.
I don't want to throw it out, like not a superstar, but a highly functional big man, and you were able to take that big man and pair him with Thompson. Now you can flip the matchup and force the Celtics to react to you.
Yeah.
Because now you got two big, strong bodies, and Big Z could shoot a little bit as well. But because Thompson is really the only banger of note,
now
Celtics could work around that.
Yeah, right. We had this conversation yesterday about whether or not they should have. I think that was in the Blast, or maybe it was Inbounds. I think it was in the Blast. Whether or not they should have had gone after DeAndre Jordan as opposed to the group of guys that they got, but you probably would have had to give up Tristan Thompson if you did that. So it wouldn't have solved your problem. If that makes any sense. So the Cavs are stuck, man. They're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Usually at this point, it comes down to coaching, as we know. When you get into the Eastern Conference or Western Conference Finals, it's what kind of adjustment are you going to make? There's just not any adjustments that Ty Lue can make. Maybe he'll start Tristan Thompson, right? And it might work for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work for 48.
I don't disagree. You know, it's just odd. And this is why LeBron's journey is so fascinating. I mean, you think of the last image of, take Larry Bird for a minute here. You know, Larry, at the end of his career, he played on the 92 Dream Team, obviously, but at the end of his Celtics career, he was laying on the floor. He couldn't even sit on the bench because of his back. Laid on the floor the whole game when he wasn't playing. Just looked like ruptured his Achilles. It just looked like a shell, physically diminished and actually sad.
Yeah.
Kind of like me.
Yeah, I was going to say. Like you laying on the floor.
Is that what you guys are saying, you clowns? Kind of like, because I was laying on the floor before the show. I did rupture my Achilles and my back hurt. So, yeah, I guess kind of like me, minus the jump shot and the millions and the MVPs of the championship. So, me. But the other play, Magic, you can't get into because he retired early with the HIV. Ewing was in a different uniform, the Sonics, the Magic, and Barkley was old and heavy with the Rockets and diminished. The next chapter for LeBron, he's still going 90 on the highway, man.
Yeah, I know.
That's what makes this so unique. Like, we're trying to assess his present, which obviously is pretty bleak, at least pertaining to this series with his teammates now.
Yep.
But his future is still incredibly bright.
Yeah.
It's really a unique discussion.
No, you're right.
Because for a unique athlete.
Because, I mean, look, he's in the finals for the MVP this year. I mean, he's well worth it for sure. He's probably not going to win it. It's likely to be James Harden. But what LeBron James did this year during the regular season and obviously in the postseason is an MVP-type season at 35. So you're right. I think we want to we want to, when we put the dirt or start to put the dirt, because it's not always, like at this point in LeBron's career, it's not like we're digging his grave, or at Larry's career, we were digging a grave, but you start to put a little bit of dirt on that grave, you expect to see him going down. LeBron's getting better. It's crazy.
Oh, he is.
He's getting better. And what he does next is going to be the most interesting part of this, I think, postseason, because it's going to be a conversation sooner, I think, rather than later.
All right, Teague, I am curious. We'll get some calls on this coming up. 1-855-212-4227. We lay it out like this because, and of course, we'll incorporate the Rockets and the Warriors more thoroughly. We just kind of glossed over that, obviously. But, you know, with no basketball, as you know, frustrating as it was last night, because you want to keep these storylines going, we know what we watch every night, wasn't bad to unplug and hit the reset button and maybe reevaluate in our minds what we've seen so far and what we expect to happen. Teague and I gave you a few of our thoughts. So you had the same night off that we did. Maybe your local team played baseball. Maybe you watched that. Maybe you did Netflix. Maybe you watched no TV. Maybe you did whatever. But after a respite from basketball and a chance to gain a little clarity pertaining to the two remaining series here, you mind change at all on what we're about to see over the weekend? 1-855-212-4227. Hey, there's a sequel. Big Mama's House? Draymond's Mama. Draymond's Mama's getting involved here. We got to get to this. What's going on with Draymond Green's mom on Twitter? We'll get to that as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Def Leppard and Journey, two of rock's most iconic bands, touring this summer. It's a 58-city tour that begins on May 21st, and it's going to rip through Wrigley Field and Coors Field, Fenway Park, Busch Stadium, AT&T in San Francisco, plus great arenas like The Garden here, MSG in New York City, Fabulous Forum in L.A. Tickets for this great show, just go to LiveNation.com or Ticketmaster.com. Or you keep it right here for your shot to win tickets at the concert of your choice. When you hear the Def Leppard and Journey sound, they're today in the 5 Eastern hour. It's the last day we're doing this. Already 9 winners, so you got to stick around if you want to get them. Just be the correct caller at 855-212-4CBS. 1-855-212-4227 for your shot to win. You give me Def Leppard and Journey? Let's get the drinks flowing. Let's hit the concert. Are you kidding me? This is awesome. This is really, really, really going to be a good concert. Yeah, I am amped up for this.
Last shot today.
That's it. Brought to you by Live Nation and us, CBS Sports Radio. For complete contest rules, go to cbssportsradio.com/rules. Tiki and Tierney on a Friday. I got Ryan Dempster doing a little baseball heading into the weekend. Major League Baseball Network analyst. You know what I'm very curious? This isn't for Ryan. Mm-hmm. This is just a thought that I had about, and I thought about this with Cano, but really it pertains to a few others as well. When A-Rod's in the booth on Sunday night,
does he mention it? He has to, right?
If they don't use him to shed some perspective, number one, he's best friends with Robbie, and number two, A-Rod's been through the whole steroid
maelstrom. You think ESPN has to, like, force him to do this, you would think.
Force him? I mean, that's a strong word.
Well,
I don't know
what I mean. You
know
what? Strongly suggest, nudge.
I'll put it this way. He's such a power hitter at this point. You know, he's become so desirable.
But they can't ignore it.
But I'm going to leave a little wiggle room out contractually if he had something written in. Remember, he's working for two networks, which means he's basically doing whatever he wants.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he's not going to acquiesce to anything that he doesn't want to do. So, I mean, is there some stipulation? I'm just guessing. Maybe there's not. But he's the kind of guy that if he wants something put in small print and he doesn't want to do it, he's not going to do it.
Yeah, he's close with them, though. And so you would think that insight would be valuable.
Or he needs to recuse himself. I'm hung up on the Axelrod
show. But
I'm hung up on billions. I'm buddies with Robbie Cano. I recuse myself in this conversation of steroids.
But you'd think that...
He's got to come up in the booth. He's a Yankee, or he's an ex-Yankee. He's a great player, future Hall of Famer, would have been.
I think more interestingly, rather than giving a perspective of what it's like to go through this, because A-Rod obviously went through something like this, would be let's have a vehicle for Robbie's side of this, for Cano's side of this, right? Because they have the same representation. They're both Rock Nation guys. Mm-hmm. Berkowitz does both of their PR. Obviously, Ron Berkowitz, our buddy here from Burke Communications, does the PR for both of them. I wonder if there's a message, right, that this is what happened. I talked to Robbie, and he said, you know, this is what went down. Mm-hmm. So, because right now, Robinson Cano's, you know, shoe-in Hall of Fame bid.
That's over.
It's over.
He's not going to get in.
And I think the only way it can change back?
I don't think it's going to change.
But I'm saying if there is a way, mm-hmm. the only way is if we as a public and as the Baseball Writers Association of America, those who actually do that, do vote in, hear his story and it's believable.
I don't think people care anymore.
I don't think they do, but I mean, don't you think you got to try?
Yeah, but I don't know if you use A-Rod. I think that that might be too, it might come across as too contrived. Mm. I mean, if and really, it would almost be, I didn't mean to get into 3-minute tangent on the Sunday Night Baseball booth mm-hmm. here. But, you know,
but I think it's interesting.
I am curious.
Though.
When you know, if this does not come up on Sunday's game or during Sunday's game, then number one, I think it's a real bad job by ESPN.
Yeah.
I mean, and if it's broached and Alex passes, mm-hmm. then I think Alex is failing to capitalize on something that actually finally endeared him to people by being open, by being mm-hmm. truthful, by taking us behind the curtain. I would tell, listen, we've had Alex on the show, mm-hmm. had him on once a couple of years ago in New York. I don't know Alex, but if I was friends with Alex and I was advising Alex, I'd say, you know what? Don't change. The road that you're on now, okay, yeah. remain on this road. We all know you cheated. We all know you were a great player. We all know you got pinched. We all know that Cano's your buddy. Speak truthfully about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just give us some, and you'll get more equity
yeah,
because, within the fan base.
Because, let's face it, we've moved past it with A-Rod.
Well, we've moved past it, but it doesn't change his Hall of Fame status.
No, of course not.
Yeah,
I've moved past
all these guys. Clemens, Bonds. Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, I've moved past it. But again, when you say move past it, we might not bring it up for daily discussion, but have we really moved past it if we're not willing to put them in?
No, I mean,
we just choose not to talk about it.
I mean, move past it in the sense where, you know, 3 years ago, it was like, hey, Rod, just be quiet. You know, just stop talking.
Yeah.
Right?
And now we're like,
well, I want to hear you, right? You're insightful and you're intelligent.
Yep.
You present these things in very clear and succinct ways. So keep talking as opposed to where not too long ago, it was like, just shut up. You know what I mean?
So yeah. I got you on that part.
It's changed completely. It's flipped 180 with A-Rod,
yeah.
which I think is a testament to him.
The one thing about the three-person booth, and I think Mendoza's really good. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if Joe Garagiola was in her place. I mean, who's one of the greats, yep. you know, obviously back in the day. Phil Rizzuto, Ralph Kiner, Bob Uecker. It has nothing to do with her. The one thing I feel like A-Rod's still a little rigid, and when there's three people at a booth, and you and I have done shows with three people, yep. it's incredibly hard. It's just hard to let things breathe and be organic because you've got to get little sound bites. Boom, yep. pop out. Sound bite, drop out. Sound bite. Let somebody else. I think if Alex was there by himself, he could really expound it. He could be more conversational. That's the next step for him. He's got to become a little more conversational.
Yeah, you're right. Those three-person booths are difficult. They are.
Yeah, they're tough. So, you know, we'll get to the tweets a little later. I didn't think that we'd go in that direction. That was interesting. That was okay. Hopefully. We thought it was interesting.
It leads in nicely to Ryan Dempster.
It does. Who's coming up next. Yep. Obviously, a lot of baseball happening here. The Dodgers got a win yesterday, but, boy, they're a disaster. You know, and you hear a lot of this in New York, and we'll get to this. You're hearing a lot of this with Met fans, and I can't believe it based on where they were a year ago or even, you know, 2 years ago. You got Harvey. Mm-hmm. You got Mats. You got Thor. You got DeGrom. Now you got Met fans saying, and I don't know that they're wrong, trade Syndergaard and trade DeGrom mm-hmm. and start over.
Wow.
And that might be the prudent move. We'll throw that in. Everything else by Ryan Dempster to get into what's happening with baseball. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. What's up today, Ak? How you feeling, buddy?
Even great, better news for Mets fans. Juan Lagares out for the year.
He stinks anyway. I'm so tired of hearing Juan Lagares.
He is a great defensive center fielder, but he's always hurt.
What does he hit? I mean,
that's his problem.
He hasn't hit for 3-4 years. The guy's always hurt. Yes. He doesn't hit. This is the problem with Met. I'm not saying, you know, I mean, I guess you are a Met fan, but this is the problem with Met fan. Been hearing about Juan Lagares for years. Juan Lagares is a fourth outfielder.
Yeah,
he's a fourth outfielder.
He's got a great name, though. It's a fantastic name.
Juan Lagares?
Yeah, sounds like it'd be a fantastic name if he was really
It sounds good. Like he sounds fast.
Exactly.
He does sound like he's got some athleticism, which he does. He just can't hit.
Right. He can't stay healthy. Other than that, he's fine.
He is a good outfielder. I'm not trying to knock a young man around. But more to what you said, yes. You know what I'm saying.
It just piled on, though.
He's like one of these guys, like a Ricky Ledet type. He's just, you know, a little bit of a different skill set, admittedly. But a guy who was supposed to be a big-time prospect. And let's face it, you hit a certain point, you can hit or you can't. And he can't hit.
Yep.
All right, Axe update. Here he is.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, time to ask the pros here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us up at CBS Sports Radio. That's the Twitter handle for these. At CBS Sports Radio, hashtag ask the pros. Listen later on when we will answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. TV's going to leave us a little bit early today. And if you want to stick around, watch a little college baseball. Butler at St. John's. I don't know how good Butler is, but I know St. John's is very good.
It sounds like basketball.
Yeah, right. If that were the case, I'd be doing the game.
That's a good point. It's so, a very good point.
And nor would they be playing at 3:40 on a Friday. Yes.
Is it here?
Of course, they'll be
playing
in May either. It's in Queens. It's at St. John's. Jack Kaiser Stadium. Nice venue. I've done a couple of games there. St. John's baseball is nationally prominent. I don't want to sell Butler short. I don't know. I don't know if they're very good, but I know St. John's has at least 35 or 36 wins. They were ranked at one point, and they beat a bunch of really good teams early. So they'll leave us at four sharp, right? I believe it is four sharp. All right, so we got about 20 more minutes on the tube side. You know, one thing that emerged on one of the local shows here in New York City yesterday is sticking with baseball. We'll get with hopefully we're supposed to have Ryan Dempster on the show from MLB Network. Mark Teixeira was doing an interview, and he was asked about his former teammate, Robbie Cano. And, you know, he said, I'm not surprised. And then he did, you know, he really didn't want to expound. He said, I don't really want to say a whole lot more than that. You could take that one of two ways. And I kind of took it a way that, I don't know if most people will take it this way, but the way I took it was, if you're going to say you're not surprised about something like that, and, you know, so cavalierly impugn somebody's integrity, which you kind of, you're doing by saying I'm not surprised, don't you owe it to that person to be a little more, I don't know, a little more substance, something a little more concrete?
Well, because he played with them for so many years. If you're gonna somewhat throw him under the bus, you need to explain it a little bit. You need to give some more context than just leave a damning statement out there that can be interpreted or misinterpreted by whoever any way that they want to. I agree with you. I mean, you can make the assumption, and I'd make the assumption, it would be, oh, it's because it's a Dominican thing, right? He's seeing a Dominican doctor, which we all know has a sordid history with providing performance enhancers to players, or really anyone who deems it. As you mentioned yesterday, BT, you go to the bodegas down there, and there's PEDs, Andro, or whatever, sitting on the shelf. Let me have some... some aspirin.
Some Halls cough drops, a little deodorant, we get some gummy bears, and we get some horse pills,
in
please.
In that context, I get it, and it's probably not a shot.
I don't know why I keep saying horse pills.
I know, right? But in that context, it's not a shot. In another context, it kind of is.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously it's not still his teammate. I know that this isn't a great analogy because, you know, in the context of that, you're my teammate. But if I was doing a radio interview and somebody asked me about one of my former partners and said, hey, I heard so-and-so did this, and I said, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, it just really leaves the door open to almost unfair interpretation. Either go all the way
there's
in.
There's no positive. There's no positive in saying it doesn't surprise me.
No, but you're willing to put your foot in the pool, jump in.
Yeah.
I think it's almost unfair to Robbie Cano. All right, Teek, let's get into that. Some other issues. And by the way, I'm not saying that I'm surprised either with Robbie Cano because of the friends that he kept, and there's been a lot of whispers around New York for a long time. But if Mark Teixeira is going to say that, I don't know, just go a little bit further. Ryan Dempster is with us, Major League Baseball Network analyst, 16 years, a couple of All-Star games, five different teams, played in the AL, played in the NL, so he's got a sense of both leagues, got a nice sense of what's happening around baseball. Ryan, Tiki and Tierney, how are you today, buddy? Welcome to our show. What's going on?
Hey, afternoon, guys. I'm just sitting here at Comiskey, or what do they call it? Guaranteed Rate Park now.
How many times has it changed?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just soaking it all in, actually smiling and remembering a few good times down there.
Yeah, you played in some good cities. You played on some good teams. You had a really interesting, and yet, I mean, Tiki obviously was playing football during a lot of your career, but, you know, Ryan's got, there's some seasons that were phenomenal. There's some seasons that led to you bouncing around. When you look back, Ryan, and because when you were on, your stuff was pretty filthy. How do you view your career? Like somebody who just, from the time you were a little kid, you made it, you did what you did. In Ryan Dempster's eyes, what kind of career do you think you had?
Yeah, I think a good one. You know, at times it was great, and at times it it was bad. But I think, you know, to have longevity, to be able to play in the big leagues for 16 years was a great experience and a diverse one. You know, I started, I relieved, I closed. I was a good player, a bad player. I kind of like, I always, when I talk to the minor league kids and I say to them, I said, there's nothing you can throw at me from a pitcher's point of view that I haven't experienced. I've experienced failure at its lowest level. And, you know, aside from throwing a perfect game or a no-hitter, I was close before, but I've been at the highest level. So battled through injuries coming back from Tommy John and just kind of the ups and downs. And yeah, just really, I think it bodes well for having the experience to be able to speak to kind of any situation, and I'm thankful for that.
You know, Ryan, I think, you know, being able to speak to a lot of situations, you probably have gotten at this a lot. I think he has dominated a lot of the conversations in the early part of the MLB season, and that's Shohei Ohtani and his ability to both be a DH and an everyday player in some regards, and then obviously get on the mound and throw, you know, 6-7 innings, get 11 strikeouts. You know, how sustainable is that throughout not just the season, but in a career? Is that something that a guy in 2018, because you're around these guys now all the time, you see them, you see how the workout habits have changed, et cetera. Is that a career-sustaining ability that he possesses, or eventually he'll burn out in one of them?
Yeah. My gut reaction when it was all first happening was, no, it's not sustainable, just because I know how hard it is to be a pitcher, and I know how hard those guys work on the, you know, in the batting cage and on the offensive side to be a hitter. So, but then I watch what he's doing, and you know, knowing the process of what he was going through and how diligent he was picking a team and from teams speaking to him and speaking to, you know, individuals or teams that did get a chance to meet with him. This guy wants it. He really truly wants to be exceptionally. He wants to be the next Babe Ruth, and I think that we're seeing something really special happen, and I think what we're seeing is really groundbreaking. I think you're going to see more of it, because what was once unacceptable or not possible is proven to be possible, and not only that, to be successful. And so you're going to see other players go down that route and say, why not, and really utilize the talents that some guys have. And I always said it about Carlos Zambrano. If we go to play an American League team, I'm like, he should DH for us. He's one of the better hitters we got.
Yeah, he could swing it. You know, he could swing it.
Yeah, it's impressive to watch what Ohtani's doing.
You know, in a related question, Ryan, you know, there's been this, desire by Major League Baseball to increase the number of African Americans in the sport. You know, we know that the percentages have declined over the year. They started to tick back up just a little bit just recently. But a lot of that reasoning is people will say, well, you know, some of these black athletes, they want to go play football or basketball. They want to do the things that feel athletic. Do you think the athleticism is changing somewhat in Major League Baseball? And by seeing a guy like Ohtani, who is a freak athlete, he's tall, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he can do all those things, you think it raises the popularity of Major League Baseball?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, you're exactly right. I think, like I said, you're seeing something groundbreaking is happening, and I think it's going to drive a new excitement to the game of baseball. I think you will see these guys who are tremendous athletes, you know, be able to utilize that now and not just be limited to, oh, you throw 100, so we're going to have you pitch. Or, mm-hmm. Hey, you hit a ball a country mile, you go play third or first. It's like, why not have a guy play center field and then go in and throw two innings in relief because you need a win? Or, you know, it happens in the College World Series. Why can't it happen at the big league level? Just because history has said, well, you know, history's determined to be changed somehow, some way by somebody. Ohtani's doing that, and maybe he's opening doors for so many other players. You know, for young African-American players, like you're saying, who are so athletic and choosing other sports, now it's like, wait a second, I can play center field and I can pitch? I'm in. And I think that's super exciting for the game to have a player like Ohtani who stepped up to do this, demanded to do it, and showing that it can be successful. So now you're not short-sighting yourself and going, hey, maybe there's something here.
Yeah. We're talking to Ryan Dempster, who's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, former big league pitcher, won the championship with the Red Sox. He's going to be on he is on MLB Tonight throughout the season. Plus, he's doing a little extra duty, so I guess Millar is out, and Ryan's stepping in. Intentional Talk, yeah. which I watch. I mean, obviously, I'm on the air a lot, but when I catch it, I've always been a fan. I like Rose. We've had Millar on, so just have a little fun. And you know what's funny, Ryan? When you were talking about the closer coming in from right field, I automatically thought, I know you saw this, the 30 for 30. I'm thinking Will Clark and Palmeiro. I'm thinking Bobby Thigpen coming in from right field, throwing cheese after it hits bombs as a right fielder. Then he comes out and he tries to get the 27th out. Right?
Right. See, that's how you do it.
I know, man.
I remember Mark Kotze in the College World Series for Cal State Fullerton dropping bombs and then coming in, throwing 94 from the left side with a split. And I'm like, why wouldn't you do that?
Wow.
If the tools are there, let's utilize them. You don't sit there and deny those abilities. Let them flourish. Let's let them grow. You know, the only reason it hasn't happened before is because somebody way back when said it wasn't possible.
Yeah, well, right.
Shohei Ohtani's proven it is.
Yeah, even Darren Dreyfuss from Wichita State. We could play this game all day. All right, let me ask you. He used to hit bombs. And he got a ridiculous contract for the Dodgers. I think he got like $55 million back in the day, which is not ridiculous for him, by the way. All right, so, one thing that is, I don't know that it's going to change anytime soon. The Mets are a mess. Their finances are a mess. Their position players are either old or just not that good, or both. Cespedes is good, but he's hurt. What else is new? They don't have a catch. Well, I mean, the catcher they got can't hit again. They're a mess. I mean, they're really just they're an eyesore. And the few assets that they have, DeGrom and Syndergaard, you know, I never thought I would say this. You might have to trade these guys and just get an infusion of young athletes and stock the cupboards and get the lower levels of the minors fixed, because these guys aren't winning anything. Am I right with that, or is that outlandishly unreasonable?
I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, you can go stockpile all of those guys, and you have no guarantees that any one of them are going to hit.
But you got to make sure that you get the right guys. Like the Yankees got
100%.
You know?
They hit it with those guys. They hit it with guys. They have guys, other guys. They make a trade with Aroldis Chapman and get Gleyber Torres. Aaron Judge comes up and hits it. Like, they make a trade for Didi Gregorius and he hits. So, like, it has to be, you have to be trusting your evaluators and who you're getting and how you're building your team. But then what do you do? So then do you do that and then use your money and your finances to go out and sign top-notch starting pitching because you're trading away one or two of those guys? I think that, you know, maybe one of those pieces might be the play, and then you have to determine who you feel is your better piece. But it's a tough struggle. It's a battle. Everybody sees the results of what Theo Epstein did in Chicago, where he trades guys away and gets, you know, players to help them win a World Series. And you see these rebuilds in Houston and what they did. But there's also cases where that doesn't happen and teams trade guys and they don't hit. So
True.
But you got to build for your future, because they do need some sort of stability. I was always used to the Mets just being good every year, and now it's like, well, if they stay healthy. You never want to go into the season with if. You want to just go into the season with, you know, let's do this. And to me, it seems like there's always a big what if there.
There's always contingencies. Hey, go have fun with Rose on Intentional Talk, and we'll keep watching you throughout the year, obviously. Great job on the network. Appreciate you hopping on, Ryan. Thank you.
Absolutely. You got it, guys.
Okay, good, man. There he is, Ryan Dempster. You know, the funny thing is, like, and that's what we did in Little League. Now, I didn't really play the outfield in Little League. I played shortstop, but I pitched a lot. And then I just got bigger. I was too slow to play shortstop. I didn't even play shortstop in high school. But that's what we, like, all the good players, that's what we did.
Yeah.
Like, we would pitch. We would go play shortstop.
Oh,
we'd go
college,
catch.
You see it everywhere.
And
even Hunter Green, the number one pick. Of course it is.
I mean, it's like there's movement. You're challenging your body with a different skill set. You know, as much as, like, there's nothing. I don't care if it's 60 feet, 6 inches away, or 50 feet, whatever the different components of Little League are, which I forgot, but I'm going to get reacquainted to very soon with my little guy, and I can't wait. There's nothing like being on the mound when you're 8, 9 years old, and you're like a proud peacock. You pull down that hat, you got the glove, and you just... The game's in your hand. You're the pitcher.
You haven't been there.
And we ain't going until I throw the ball.
You were remembering your time as an 8, 9, 10-year-old.
Even 11, 12, and 13.
But you have yet to experience it as a parent.
No, I hear you. Every time I get excited, you always got to throw cold water on it.
When you get these kids that can't find a place.
I understand that.
It gets long. And it's July.
What a downer this guy does every time.
I'm just telling you, BT.
You don't think I know that?
I hope Colton becomes that go-to guy for a coach.
When
other kids can't get it across the plate, just call him in.
Get in the flamethrower.
Just throw a strike.
I know. You know, that's why what they really should do, and maybe they have this, and I'm just unaware of it, so if I sound misinformed, it's because I haven't been in Little League since the 80s, and my little guy is 3, so we're not there yet, obviously. But they should just, and I think there was a movement for this, I don't know if it was actually passed, Put the kids up at the plate. Counts 2-1. Let's go. 2-1. You can't give them 2 strikes. That's what it is. Yeah, you already have a strike. You got to swing the bat.
Yeah.
You have at least one ball, mm-hmm. maybe two. Throw it somewhere near home plate. Swing.
That would work.
Let's go. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Otherwise, the hard thing, though, is that I forget what level it was with AJ and Chase, but they had a pitching machine.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
You know why it was ridiculous? Because, it doesn't get the kid used to seeing a windup.
Correct.
Right? And then worse, half the time the machine would die.
Oh, geez.
And so it's like spitting out these little limbs.
Yeah, I used to get those in the batting cage. I had a batting cage by my house that actually had the arm.
Oh, that's cool.
And my
cool,
buddy
though.
Worked there, so you flick the lever and it would just. It would spit out like 1,000 in a row.
That's cool, though.
I would just keep going. I'd fix my batting. I'd do push-ups. Like, this is like in high school. So just keep going. But the ones that shoot out the spit, those are terrible.
Horrible.
Now, come on. You got to pitch. Give me a break.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.